Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles, day number 3, 2012. Well, yesterday we saw how important it's going to be with what we'll be doing as kings and priests in the millennium. And we also saw one of the things that has caused a great deal of problems in the world. Now, let's just review a bit. Let's come back here to Luke 11. Now, here Jesus was correcting the Pharisees for not having the understanding of the law of God, the truth of God, the love and mercy of God. And one of the major things that happens, and then we will see the result of it, as it is in our day to day. Luke 11, verse 42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every herb, but you pass over the judgment. Now we're going to see that number 5 and what we're going to be doing as kings of priests is judging. Now judgment, as we're going to see, takes wisdom, knowledge, discernment, understanding the laws of God, and all of those things together. And what was it that God set up as the system for his people Israel in the first place? He gave them what? Judges. And if there were judgments too difficult, they were to take them to the high priest. And then they were to make a judgment based upon the facts. They pass over the judgment and love of God. Now what happens when you do this? How does a society turn out? Well, let's come back here to Matthew 24, because this is exactly what's happening in the world today, Matthew 24, not only in the world, but in America in particular and in the world, because people do not know how to make righteous judgments because they've gotten rid of God. And you see, they fail to understand that God made us so we need God. We need his word. We need his truth. We need his spirit. Because, you see, we're incomplete otherwise in the flesh. Now, the world today likes to have everyone be autonomous, meaning you're a beginning and an end unto yourself. Now, when that happens, and when society enacts unrighteous judgments, as we will see, what does it do to the society? Well, let's pick it up here in verse 10. Matthew 24 and verse 10. Let's see what happens, and let's see how things come about. Look at the world today and understand that one of the most lacking things that there is righteous judgment. When you have unrighteous judgment, here's what happens, verse 10. And then many shall be led into sin because they're not told right from wrong, good from evil. And they are not told that you need God, you're dependent upon God. God made you to need him. God made you to need his laws, his commandments, his spirit, his truth. And beyond that, God has made you for a fantastic purpose to eventually be his sons and daughters in his kingdom. And that's why we're called brethren. So to understand judgment, we need to learn it now. So let's see what happens when there's no judgment. Many are led away into sin and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Don't we have that today? Hatred and betrayal. You even have anonymous 911 calls that you can do or police calls that you can do to report some activity. Now, what happens in the realm of religion? Because what is one of the most fundamental things that have said of Christianity in the world today? They have abolished the laws of God. Now, you can't abolish them because they are still in force. But what they have done, they have abolished preaching them. Now, let's see what happens when that occurs. many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, because truth, as we're going to see, falls into the street. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. And think about all the lawless decrees that are on the books today. Think of what the final judgment of the Supreme Court of any nation does with any judgment that is not true or is not law-abiding or is not righteous. Look at what has happened to the world. And as I said, show me one nation that has a good judgment, that has a good government, that has a loving and law-abiding people, that has the blessing of God. There aren't any, because lawlessness has been multiplied. Now let's come to Isaiah 59. Let's see what happens in individual lives and in the society and in the world in general. Isaiah 59. This tells us the result of it. Now, for example, if you went on the street and you did a survey on the street and you had your little microphone and a cameraman with you and you go up to someone and say, "Do you know why you're here?" Boy, I can imagine the answers you might get. But none of them will know why they were created. What is the purpose in life? And after all, if you're alive and God has given you this life, shouldn't you know the one who's given you life? And yet, with our absurd, insane, scientific world, which it is, oh, they discover a lot of things, but they reject God. And when they reject God, they reject truth. Now, we're in a desperate situation in the world because it's filled with lawlessness because of lack of judgment. Let's see that right here in Isaiah 59. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has uttered perverseness." Now stop and think. Is that not a perfect description of this society? Granted, there may be a few out there trying to do what is right. However, can they get it enacted in law? Try abortion. The absolute most perverse, lawless, insane judgment of the Supreme Court of the United States that it has ever made to legalize killing of the most innocent, the unborn. I do believe that the Constitution says that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That should be enough to overturn Roe versus Wade. But we have murderous women and lecherous men and godless politicians and judges who judge unrighteous judgment. And that's why the kingdom of God is going to come and take over this world. This is why, brethren, we need to understand everything that we can concerning the laws and commandments of God and know how to make righteous judgments, beginning in our own lives, and how to see and analyze things in truth, because God is going to give judgment to us. We saw how Jesus said to the 12 disciples that you'll be sitting on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice, in spite of all of these sins, in spite of these difficulties, verses 1 through 3, none calls for justice. Anyone who says, "Let's outlaw abortion," it is a terrible sin and crime, and God is judging us because of it. Oh, no, we got to have that. Let's have marriage defined as between one man and one woman. Oh, no, we can't have that. Our minds are so perverted that all love, even evil, abominable love of homosexuals, is accepted. Look what that has done to the world and to the nation. Now notice the next phrase here. Nor does anyone plead for the truth. The truth! Who can speak it? And if you do, you're an evil-minded, lecherous, narrow-minded bigot. Well, that's what they think of God. But look at their life. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. Now, these are their schemes and their laws and their plans. And weave spider's webs. All of the intrigue that goes on politically, religiously, and economically. Yes. He who eats their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Every time you think that you're going to solve a problem, boom, out pops one even worse. Now, God says it isn't going to work. See, the truth is, everyone in the world is under the law of God. And the truth is, God is judging everyone all the time on their behavior. Now, these judgments are automatic because his laws are spiritual and automatic, and they function automatically. So God doesn't have to come down here and personally do a single thing. Now the time is going to come when he's going to intervene and send Christ, and he's going to do it. Verse 6, their webs shall not become clothing, nor shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hands. Isn't that true? I think it would be interesting to run an analysis. When was it that the Scopes trial took place? Well, the 1920s. When was it that prayer and Bible reading was taken out of school? Question. With lawless multiplying, how many mass murders have we had since then? How many millions and millions, up to 50 to 55 million abortions in killing babies have been performed? How about the prisons filled with incorrigible wicked? And some so are incorrigibly wicked that they must live in a permanent place where they cannot get out to the public and be under medication 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What's going to happen when the day comes that they can't be taken care of? That's why Christ has to return. This is why, brethren, we need to learn righteous judgment. Let's go on. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Doesn't that sound like the movies that we have today? Doesn't that sound like the entertainment that people are putting in their minds today? Yes, indeed. Now it says, they have not known the way of peace, and there is no justice in their ways. They make crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. What's the result of it? Everyone says, well, what's wrong? Well, what's wrong is there's not the judgment. This is why we need to learn it, brethren. Brethren, always remember this. And the reason we keep the Feast of Tabernacles is so that we learn and know and understand that God has called us to rule this world. And he has called us to learn of his word, to learn of his laws, to learn of his commandments, to learn of his judgments. And he has called us to put in our minds and write indelibly in our minds with his Holy Spirit all of those things in our mind. Because, you see, these come from God. And these are the characteristics that God wants us to have. So today we have a perfect opportunity to see and view what is wrong on a vast scale, daily, hourly, around the world. So we can learn the lesson. So we can see why we need the judgment of God. Now let's continue. What happens when it's like that? Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. How can good come out of evil? Let us do evil so that good may abound, huh? Does that make any sense? Well, that's the way the world is run. We wait for light. We hope things will get better. But behold, darkness. We wait for brightness. But we walk in deep shadows. And when it comes to massive problems, when it comes to trying and figure out what happens when there's a mass murder like there was this summer, 12 killed and 58 wounded. And on the same day, by the way, 106 were killed in Iraq with Al-Qaeda bombs. And how many were killed in Syria? And how many in Darfur? So you see, brethren, this world, it's waiting for us to take it over and to show and teach what is right. Notice we grope along the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night among those who are strong. We are like dead men. We all roar like bears and moan grievously like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. We look for salvation, yet it is far from us. For our transgressions have multiplied before you. Now put this together. Lawlessness shall be multiplied, therefore the love of many shall grow cold. Transgressions are multiplied. Lawlessness, it results in transgressions. Now you see, without repentance, there is going to be no solution. Without a mass turning to God, the hand of God's judgment is not going to be held back. We come to a point, that's called a tipping point. It's like a teeter-totter. And you reach the point where everything gets out of balance, and boom, it all collapses. We're at a tipping point in law and order. We're at a tipping point in lawless government. We are at a tipping point generationally. We are at a tipping point financially. Now, what's going to happen when they're all swirled together in one great mammoth problem? Well, that day's going to come. That day's coming. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. Yes, they know what's right and wrong. But they deny in their make-believe reality that sin is sin. In rebellion and denial of the Lord. And turning away from our God. Talking perversity and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart words of falsehood. Isn't that the way that most people are today? Doesn't this describe our entertainment world today? Doesn't this describe the things that people run after today? And are running after headlong, not knowing that they're running to their own destruction. Justice is driven backward. Righteousness stands far off. For truth has fallen in the street. Now, number one thing concerning judgment. You must have and you must know the truth. And in judging any situation, we're going to see, you must know and have the truth. You must get all of the facts. For truth is fallen in the streets, and uprightness cannot enter. Yea, truth fails. A lot of people try truth, but it fails because they're not willing to repent. Or they're willing to take some truth and intermix it with their lies and try and have accommodation that will work, but it's all going to collapse. And the Lord, truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Oh, look at that person. He wants to be honest. She wants to really do good. Yes, you become a victim. In this world, try being faithful sexually until you get married. and make that a public point that you discuss with other people, and you will be ridiculed, you will be laughed out, you will be looked upon as dumb and stupid and ignorant. But that's what they are. Now notice this. And the Lord saw, and it was evil in his eyes, that there was no justice. So God looks. God knows what's going on in the world. He saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness sustained him. So Christ is going to have to come and bring this about. All right, let's talk a little bit more about judgment and righteousness. Now, let's see what it says about God, because we said God is judging everyone all the time. Let's come back here to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Now, this is just right after Isaac, or right before Isaac was born. Matter of fact, God came with a couple of angels, and they were on their way down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God began to tell Abraham what he was going to do. So he said, now, this is how God judges the world today. I want you to think about things that take place in the world. So, God said this of Abraham, verse 17. Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Now, think about that. We're here because of Abraham. For I know him that he will command his children in his house after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him. Now notice how important the judgment and justice is in our relationship with God. Because as we're going to see, Abraham said God was judge of the whole earth. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Now take any city you like. Take some of the most sin-infected cesspools called cities in whatever nation you want to look at. And is their sin very great, very grievous? Yes. And remember, God's judgment is coming, as we saw on Feast of Trumpets. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know, because God knows. So then the two angels, called men, went on down toward Sodom, and Abraham stood there before the Lord. Now notice how this ties in with Isaiah 1:16. Come now, let us reason together. So here, Abraham reasons with God. Notice what he said. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Well, of course. Abraham knew that he wouldn't do that. So verse 24, Abraham says, oh, what if there are 50 in the city? Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 who were in it? Far be it from you to act in this manner to kill the righteous with the wicked. Far be it from you that the righteous should be as the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now notice how boldly he talked with God. So then you know the rest of the story. He bargained with God all the way down to 10. And that probably was the complete number of the family of Lot and his wife and his daughters and his son. God said, for 10, I won't do it. But you know what happened? Yes, indeed. God did it. Now let's understand something else about God. Everyone wants the love of God. Everyone wants the blessings of God, though they live in their sins. And that's kind of an incongruous, contradictory thing to believe, isn't it, huh? Think about that for a minute. Let's come here to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the fourth chapter. God says this to all of those who are sinning, wherever it is, even now at this late date, if in any of the nations of Israel or any of the nations of the world, that if there would be a mass repentance and turning to God, God would hold back his hand of judgment. Notice, Jeremiah 4, verse 1. Here's what God wants, and this is the message that goes out with the gospel. And this is what has to be preached into the world. Verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. Come back to God. I made you. You're my people. I called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're their offspring. And if, now how many times? There it is, if, and if twice. Conditions are always upon us. If you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. I'm not going to send you off into captivity. Now, how close are we to the same point in the modern descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, huh? Very close. You've heard the talk of a financial cliff? Well, that's only part of it. There's the financial cliff. There's the governmental cliff. There is the righteousness cliff. There is the judgment cliff. There is the sin and abomination cliff. And all of these things are coming together to create a perfect storm of judgment. Now, here's what they have to do. Verse 2. And swear. In other words, you give up your way. You give up your thoughts. You give up your attitudes. And you change and come to God. That's what it means to return. And will swear, as the Lord lives. Notice, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. Come back to God. Come back to his laws. Come back to his truth. Come back to his righteousness. Let the fear of God be there everywhere. Let God be over the government again. Let God be over the schools again. Let God be over the churches again. But think of what is going to have to happen in all of those institutions in order to return to God. So since that isn't going to happen, it's got to happen on an individual basis for those that God is going to call. Now notice, if they do that, then the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. All right? Now let's go on from there, and let's see what we are to do. Let's see about the things of judging righteous judgment. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, we find John the 7th chapter. We find that there was a confrontation between the Pharisees and Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus exposed a real truth that the scribes and Pharisees were not willing to admit. John 7, let's pick it up here in verse 19. Jesus told them this, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? And of course it was the one who became Jesus Christ who gave Moses the law to give to them. Now notice the rest of this verse. And not one of you is practicing the law. Now that's a real key thing in understanding the difference between Judaism and the law of Moses. Because you see, just like in the world, everyone professes to be Christian, but they're not. Pharisees and scribes profess to be those who were the servants of God, but they had their own traditions and they weren't practicing the law. But they were practicing their traditions and thinking that they were righteous. Well, now just look at every religion in the world. And isn't that true of every religion in the world? Even Christianity today? Yes, it is. So he says, why do you seek to kill me? Now come down here to verse 22. Then Jesus quotes something from the law of Moses. Now then, Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath day, you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me because I made a man entirely whole on the Sabbath? Now, he was giving cause to show what they were lacking. They had their traditions, they had their opinions, and everything they did and thought was judged by their traditions and not the law of Moses, not the commandments of God. So here's what Jesus told them. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, we're going to see some things of righteous judgment. Now, we have a short two-sermon series that I've done on that. Judge righteous judgment. Let's see how we are told to do this. Let's look at some things concerning judging. Let's come back here to the book of Proverbs. We'll find several very good proverbs which tell us about this. The book of Proverbs. Let's come back here to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 15. Now, this is what it's going to be for us when we begin the millennium, because the first thing we're going to have to do is start judging, start making decisions. Proverbs 21 and verse 15. It is joy to the just, or to the righteous, rather, to do justice, but to ruin to the workers of iniquity. Because, you see, if righteousness and justice is carried out, no room for iniquity. All right? Let's look at another proverb here that we need to understand. Let's come back here to Proverbs 18. Here's a basic thing we need to learn concerning judgment and righteous judgment. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Always get the facts. Here's where we are today in too many things. Verse 18. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Now, this last summer, when the name of the shooter became known, James Holmes, then George Stephanopoulos of ABC looked up the name quickly in Twitter, and he found a James Holmes in Colorado who belonged to the Tea Party. So immediately began broadcasting that it was the Tea Party. Sound a little bit like the shooting the year before in Tucson, where the crazy man was supposed to be associated with the Tea Party? But what George Stephanopoulos didn't know, he didn't have enough judgment, he didn't have enough sense to think, I wonder if there's more than one James Holmes in Colorado. And sure enough, there are over 20 of them. And the James Holmes that he found on Twitter was 58 years old. And he belonged to the Tea Party, not the insane shooter. So you see, verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Well, he did have to come back and apologize for that, okay? Now, let's look at a couple of other scriptures that we need to know concerning judging. Since we're here in Proverbs, let's come to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Now, the book of Proverbs is really an excellent thing to study and learn, especially for young people. Proverbs 24 and verse 23. These things also are for the wise. Remember this. To have respect of persons in judgment is not good. You can't do that. You can't favor a cause. You can't favor a person, because righteousness looks at the facts and the truth and gets to the entire heart of the matter. And we're going to see that is what God commanded the priest to do and the judges to do in their judgment. They weren't to have respect to the rich because of their influence and power. They weren't to have respect to the poor because of their circumstances. But what are the laws of God? What are the commandments of God? And how do we establish judgments based on truth and righteousness from that? And this is what we have to learn. This is why God has called us to be in the kingdom of God, so that we can be the judges. We can be the rulers. And think how important that is going to be. Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll continue after we have a break.